Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Mem Beis. The rabbi left off yesterday on Mem Aleph Amud Beis towards the bottom. We are five lines up from the bottom of the Yamud Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Today, Shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Le'a Shalom. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Daniel Price in honor of the Yahrzeit of his father, Dr. Clifton Price, Akiva Ben Avram, which is today, the Neshama Shadav and Aliyah, and we thank both sponsors very much for their sponsorship. So today we are going to cover a couple of topics. First of all, Marino left off yesterday in the middle of the six comments about Chanifa that are brought down in the Gemara. So we're going to continue with the list of comments that the Gemara makes about people who show flattery to one another. None of it is very flattering. Apologies for the pun. We are then at the very end of the Perek going to talk about four people who are not going to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina, four people who can't get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to conclude the Perek, and then the beginning of the next Perek is going to talk about the Mashuach Melchama, the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, who was the Kohen who would basically rally the troops. Whenever Klal Yisrael would go fight on Lachemes Mitzvah, the Kohen would rally the troops, he would give them a pep talk, and why are we talking about this? So we're going to talk about this because the pep talk that the Kohen Mashuach Melchama gives to Klal Yisrael, gives to the soldiers as they are about to go out and fight, is one of the things that has to be said only in Lashon HaKodesh. We had the Mishnah a couple of blot ago about the things that could be said in any language versus the things that needed to be said specifically in Lashon HaKodesh. The Mashuach Melchama, or the Parsha of the Mashuach Melchama, was one of the things that had to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. That's why the Mishnah in the next Perek is going to talk about that. And then we are going to talk about Goliath, we're going to talk about Shobach, these two strong men who tried to fight Klal Yisrael and tried to denigrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how we were able to overcome both Goliath and Shobach. And then in a pretty good Daf Yomi coincidence, because we're now in the home stretch of the Sfira period, we're going to talk about Naomi, Rus, and Orpah toward the end of the Daf. And at the very end of the Daf, hopefully we'll get there, the Gemara is going to give us a little bit of advice as to what to do if one is feeling anxiety, a very famous Maimer of the Gemara, to finish up today's Daf, hopefully. So again, Marino left off yesterday, five lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, in the middle of the various comments of Rebbe Eliezer, in the middle of the various comments that Rebbe Eliezer made about Chanifa. So says the Gemara as follows: V'yamar Rebbe Eliezer, kol adam sheyesh bo chanufa nofel begehenem. Anybody who exhibits the trait of flattery will be destined to go to Gehenim. Shenemar hevi ya'omrim la ra tov, la tov ra, that if you tell somebody who's bad that he's actually good, and somebody who's good that he's actually bad, maksev achrav, and what does it say after that? In other words, if you're telling somebody who's bad that he's good, that's flattering the person. The pasuk after that said, l'chein ka'ochal kash lashon eish, just like a tongue of fire consumes straw, v'chshash lahava yir peh, that, and just like the flame pulverizes stubble. So the allegory that the pasuk is trying to draw here of Eish and Lahava, fire and the flame, that is Keneged Gehenim, because Gehenim is the fiery place. And therefore, what this pasuk is really telling us is that if a person exhibits flattery, he's ultimately going to go to Gehenim. Says the Gemara again, the next Maimer, V'yamar Rebbe Elazar, kol ha-machnif la-chaveiro sof nofol biyado. Anybody who's machnif his friend, anybody who exhibits flattery toward his friend is eventually going to experience a downfall, is going to experience a downfall through that person. Vimein and nofel biyado, and if he doesn't experience his own downfall through the person whom he flattered, nofel biyad banav, he's going to experience a downfall through the children of the person he flattered. Vimein and nofel biyad banav, nofel biyad bnei banav, and if he doesn't experience a downfall through the second generation, he's going to experience a downfall through the third generation. Tosfos of here points out that this is only the only time when the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be machnif somebody, that you're not allowed to flatter somebody, and if you do flatter the person, you're going to experience a downfall, you're going to fall at the hands either of himself or of his kid or his grandkid, is only when it's not a makom sakana. However, when it is a makom sakana, then you are allowed to be machnif somebody, you're allowed to give chanifa. How do we know that? Because Tosfos brings down a Gemara in Meseches Nedarim, where there was a story with Ula when he was traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and he was traveling with a bunch of thugs, and he saw one of the thugs kill somebody in cold blood, and the thug asked Ula, "Oh, did I do well?" And Ula said, "Yeah, you did well." And Ula even went so far as to make sure that the victim's beis hashchita was separated. Then he came to Eretz Yisrael and he thought to himself, "Oh my God, what did I do? I just hastened the death of somebody who these thugs killed." And in Eretz Yisrael, Ula was told, "Don't worry, you did the right thing. Because you were in a position of physical danger, and had you not flattered these thugs, they would have killed you." So Tosfos says, from here we see that if there is a makom sakana, then it's mutar. However, if it's not a makom sakana, and that's the situation where the Gemara is talking about, where there is no makom sakana, if you flatter somebody, you're going to experience a downfall at the hands of that person, his children, or his grandchildren. How do we know this? Last line, Mem Aleph Amid Beis. Shenemar v'yomer Yirmiyah l'Chananya, and Yirmiyah said to Chananya, Yirmiyah said to Chananya, Chananya, who is Chananya? So Rashi tells us, was a Navi Sheker, who was being misnabe at the end of Golos Yechanya, about the Klei HaKodesh coming back to Yerushalayim, that Yirmiyah said to Chananya, Amen, Ken Yasa Hashem, Yakom Hashem Es Tvarecha. That yes, so it should be Hashem's will that your prophecy should be fulfilled. And Rashi points out that Yirmiyah knew that Hananiah's prophecy was false. So rather than flattering him and saying, "Oh, that's a good prophecy, it should be fulfilled," he should have castigated him for promoting a false prophecy. And what does it say? So flipping to Mem Beis, Amid Aleph, Vayihu b'Shar Binyamin, that Yirmiyah was then later in the Shar Binyamin, the gate to Binyamin, v'sham bal pekidos, and there was an official, Ushmo Yiriyah ben Shlamya ben Chananya. And there was a guy whose name was Yiriyah ben Shlamya ben Chananya. In other words, Chananya, the false prophet's grandson. Vayitva says Yirmiyah Anavi, and they seized Yirmiyah Anavi, Leimor ela Kasdim Atanofel, saying that you're deserting the Kasdim. Vayomer Yirmiyah Shekarein Enanofel ela Kasdim. And Yirmiyah said, no, he denied the allegation that he's not deserting the Kasdim. Viksiv Vayitvas Yirmiyah Vayavayolo Asarim. And they grabbed Yirmiyah and they sent him into jail. So we see over here, Yirmiyah flattered Chananya. It's usher to flatter somebody. So what happened? Ultimately, Yirmiyah experiences downfall at the hands of Hananiah's grandson, just like Rav Elazar said in his Maimer. Says the Gemara Vayter, V'amar Rav Elazar, kol eda sheyesh bo chanufa, any congregation that exhibits flattery, m'usa kenida, is disgusting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a nida. Shenemar ki adas chanaf galmod, because the nation of Chanufim is considered to be galmod. Shekein b'krach rayam korim lenida galmuda, because in the krach rayam, in the far off islands, they call anida galmuda. Why is anida called galmuda? My galmuda gemula mi baila, that it is segregated from her husband. But just like because Anita has to be separated from her husband, so too when we exhibit flattery, we are disgusting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Anita, in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates himself from us. So the Ben Yoyada explains that this is obviously bad, right? The Gemara is not trying to convey a good thing. It's all these mamarim are trying to convey bad things about flattery. Yet when the Gemara gives an example of the type of tumah that a person who is a flatterer is analogized to, it chooses anida, not somebody who's tamei meis or somebody who's tamei zav or somebody who's tamei sheretz or something like that. Why? So the answer is, says the Ben Yoyada, because even when a woman is tamei nida, the husband is allowed to be misyachid with his wife. He's not allowed to be with her in an intimate physical way, but he's allowed to be misyachid with her, and he's allowed to live in the same house. So too, says the Ben Yoyada, that's the lesson that the Gemara is trying to teach us. When we exhibit flattery, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not pleased with us. However, it's not like he can't be in the house. It's not like there's a mace in the house and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen and he can't be around us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still here. He's just not as close as he would be to us if we otherwise did not exhibit this midah of flattery. Says the Gemara, final maimor of year about flattery. Vamra of Lazar, kol eda sheyesh ba chanufa, any congregation that has chanufa that exhibits flattery, lesov gola, ultimately is going to go into galus. Ksivach, it says over here, ki adas chanaf galmod, ksivasam viarmarta bilvavacha, mi yelad li es ele, vani shakula vagalmuda, I am bereaved and I am forlorn. Gola visura, I am exiled and I'm a wanderer. So we saw that the pasuk already compared a chanufa to to a Galmuda, and Galmuda is a Lashon which is used in connection with Gola Vesura. So from here we see that anybody who's Machnif, somebody else, is ultimately going to experience exile. Says the Gemara now to finish up the Perek, Amar Rav Yirmiyah b'Abra, Abra Kitas e Mekablos Pnei Shechina. There are four groups of individuals who cannot be Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Kat Leitzim, a kat of a group of Leitzim, of people who are just exhibiting Leitzanus. They're very derisive and they're just not serious. Vekat Hanifim, and a group of people who are flatterers. Vekat Shekarim, and a group of people who lie. Vekat Mesapre Lashon Hara, and a group of people who tell Lashon Hara. Kat Leitzim, how do we know that the Leitzim are not going to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina? Tichsiv Mashach Yado Es Lotzitzim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes away those who are lotzeitz, those who are late sonim. Kat chanifim dechsev kilo lefanav chanaf yavo, because anybody who is a chanfin will not come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will not come and experience the Shechina. Kat shakarim dechsev dover shkarim lo yikon leneged enai, that those who tell sheker will not appear before me, they will not reside before me. And kat mesapri lashon hara dechsev kilo kel chafetz rasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not desire a rasha, kilo kel chafetz rasha ata lo yagur chara, Tzadik ato Hashem lo yogur memerech hara. So what this means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzadik, and therefore evil cannot dwell in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abode. And Rashi says that this is talking about Lashon Hara. When the Pasuk said lo yogur imcha ra, that somebody who is bad cannot live with you, cannot live in your abode, it's talking about Lashon Hara. Says Rashi, v'gavim mesapra Lashon Hara, k'siv d'chsiv bahu parshasa, kiyem b'fiyu nechona, because he doesn't speak properly. And the Marsha says that Lashon Hara is called Ra because it's a form of unadulterated evil. Why? Because the person telling Lashon Hara is bringing negative consequences on the person about whom the Lashon Hara is being told, and the person who's telling the Lashon Hara doesn't get any real benefit from the Lashon Hara either, except for this juvenile and improper enjoyment from saying the Lashon Hara. Therefore, it at its core is very, very bad, and that's why a person who tells Lashon Hara is not Mekabel Pnei Shechina. The Ben Yehuda just points out that this list over here, the group of four people, even though none of them are able to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina, they are listed in ascending order of badness. So in other words, the least bad group are Leitzanim, people who stam aren't serious. And then worse than that are Chanifim, worse than that are people who are liars, and the worst of the group, says the Ben Yoyada, are the people who tell Lashon Hara. Sahadron Allah Elu Nemarim. Now the next parak is going to talk about, the eighth parak is going to talk about the Meshuach Mulchama. Why are we talking about it? Because this is among the list of things that need to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Again, just to remind us about what the Meshuach Mulchama is all about. So there are two types of milchama, generally speaking. There's what's called a milchames mitzvah, and then there's what's called a milchames rishus. So when there's a milchames rishus, then not everybody has to fight. There's an army. If you're in the army, then you fight. If you're not in the army, then you don't have to fight. If there's a milchames mitzvah, however, then every member of Klal Yisrael has to fight. What's a milchames mitzvah? So there were a couple of examples. One is a milchames Amalek. The other is at the time of Kvishas Eretz Yisrael, when we conquered Eretz Yisrael. There are milchamos to protect Eretz Yisrael or the Jewish nation. So in other words, any war that we are fighting against another nation in order to protect our people or our land is a milchames mitzvah. Any optional war that, let's say, we fight because we want to conquer more land, that's not considered to be a Melchemes Mitzvah. Now, before the Melchemes Mitzvah, the Meshuach Melchama would be the special Kohen Gadol, and there is a Machlokas we should just mention, whether the Meshuach Melchama is called the Anointed One for War, the Meshuach Melchama, does that mean that he needed to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, or was there some other way of anointing and appointing the Meshuach Melchama? The Nafkamina being whether the Kohen Meshuach Melchama existed in Bayis Sheni, because we know that at the end of Bayis Rishon, the Shemen HaMishcha was Nignaz. The Shemen HaMishcha was put in Gneza. It was lost to us, and therefore, if you actually require the Shemen HaMishcha in order to create a Meshuach Melchama, then the Meshuach Melchama cannot exist in the time of Bayis Sheni. So the Psukim and Parshas Kisei tell us all of the rallying pep talk that the Kohen Mashiach Melchama gives to the Bnei Yisrael, and he also gives them a list of people who are exempt from fighting war, right? Misha bana bayis chadash, and he didn't live there. A person who just got married, a person who just got engaged but hasn't yet gotten married. A person who's afraid for his averas. And then he gives a pep talk to the rest of the people once the soldiers are there and assemble, and says, don't worry about the frightful enemy. You come with the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Yisrael. So it's a whole big pep talk. We're going to get into it shortly. So says the Mishnah as follows. So Mashiach Melchama, the Kohen Mashiach Melchama, B'shasha Medaber Elam, in the time that he speaks to the people to rally them before they go to war, B'lashon HaKodesh U'Medaber, he talks to them in Lashon HaKodesh, and Nemar, V'hoya K'karvachem Ela Melchama, it shall be when you reach the place of war, V'nigash HaKohen, and the Kohen will come. Which Kohen? Zeh Kohen Mashiach Melchama. The Kohen Mashiach Melchama comes. V'diber Elam, and he's going to speak to the people, B'lashon HaKodesh, in Lashon HaKodesh. The Gemara is going to ask, how do we know that V'dibur Elam means that he speaks in Lashon HaKodesh? All it says is that he speaks to the people. It doesn't say Lashon HaKodesh. We'll get to that in the Gemara. V'yamar Aleihem, first the Mishnah is going to tell us what the Kohen Mashiach Melchama says. And the Kohen Mashiach Melchama says, Shema Yisrael. It says, Shema Yisrael, that you're going with the power of God. And bear in mind that when you go to war, Aleveichem v'lo alacheichem, they are going to war against your enemies. You're not going to war against your brothers. Lo Yehuda al Shimon, v'lo Shimon al Binyamin. This is not a situation where Yehuda is fighting with Shimon, where Shimon is fighting with Binyamin. And the Mishnah obviously is using these shvatim only as an example. It's lav davka Yehuda, Shimon, and Binyamin. It's rather that the Mishnah was talking about after the 10 tribes were lost and were assimilated. So the only tribes that were left were the Shevet Yehuda, the Shevet Binyamin, and Shevet Shimon hung around with Shevet Yehuda. But in a Chanami, the Mishnah could have listed any of the Shvatim, because the point is, just know that you're going to war against enemies, you're not among friends. She'im tiplu biyadam, because if you were fighting among your brothers, yirachmu aleichem, then they would have mercy on you. Kama shenemar, as it says, ve'yakumu anashem asher nakvu b'shemos, that the men got up, ve'yachziku b'shavea, and they helped their captives, val marumeyem hilbishu minashalal, and they clothed the naked captives from the spoils. Vayalbishum, and they got them dressed. Vayanilum, and they put shoes on them. Vayachilum, vayashkum, they gave them food and drink. Vayaschum, and they anointed them. They washed them up. Vayanalum, bechamorim lechol choshel, and they mounted on donkeys anybody who was stumbling. Vayavim yericho iler tamarim etzalacheim vayashuvu shomron. And they brought them to Yericho, and then they went back to Shomron. And Rashi says that this is talking about a war in the time of Pekach ben Remaliyahu, who fought with Achaz. This is brought down in Divrei Ayamim. But the point is that this was a war between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Shimon. And after they were done fighting, the victorious people helped the defeated people, and they raise them up and they sustain them. And what the Kohen Mashiach Melchama is telling the Bnei Yisrael before they go out to war, you better be careful, because you're not going to war against somebody who's going to treat you nicely. If you stumble, they're actually out to kill you. Says the Mishnah in the first wide line, or the first medium-sized line, Aleveichem atem holchem. You are not going to war against friends, you're going to war against enemies. Shem tiplu biyodam imrachem aleichem. That if you fall at their hands, they're not going to be merachem on you. They're not going to have mercy on you. Nevertheless, al yerech lavavchem, do not be faint. Al tiru, do not fear. Al tichbazu, do not panic. Al yerech, why all of these lashonos about not being afraid? Just tell them once not to be afraid. Says the Mishnah as follows, al yerech lavavchem, don't be afraid, don't be faint, mibnei tzalasusim, because of the neighing of all of the horses in the enemy army. Vitzichtzuch charevos, and the glittering swords. Al tiru, do not be afraid, mibnei akavas treason, because of the banging, the clashing of the shields together. They would clash their shields together to make a big ruckus and try to scare the Jewish army. Veshafas hakalgusin, and also the horses of the soldiers. Al tichbazu, do not al tichpazu, and do not panic mikol kronos, from the sound of the horns that they would blow, of the shofaros. Al ta'artzu, and do not be broken mimnei kol tzavachos, because of the shouts of the enemy troops. Now, why should you not be afraid? This sounds like a very frightening situation, right? You're going up against his army. They're banging their shields. Their horses are neighing. They're stomping. They're yelling. It sounds like a yid. They're blowing shofaros. It sounds like very, very intimidating. Why? Because says the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad, you have to remember, Ki Hashem Elokeichem, Aholi Chimachem, Heim Boim Ben Etzkunu Shal Basar Bedam, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your side. They are coming with the power, with the might of people, V'yatem Boim Ben Etzkunu Shal Makom, and you are coming with the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Plishtim Boim Ben Etzkunu Shal Goliath, the Plishtim came with Goliath, Ma Yasofo, what was the end of the story of Goliath? Lesof, Nafal Becherev, and Nafal Imo. Ultimately, he succumbed to David. Bnei Amon bo ben etzchuno shel Shovach. The Bnei Amon came with the power of Shovach, with the might of Shovach. Maya Sofo. What was his end? Lesof nafal becherev and nafal imo. That ultimately he was defeated and his nation was defeated. Vatem iatem came, but you are not like this. Ki Hashem Elokeichem olichimachem liilachem lachem. You are not coming with the power of, with the might of men. You are coming with the strength and the power of God, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fight. Ze machne ha'aron. This is the machne of the Aron, because they would literally take the Aron to battle with them as a sign that we battle with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only with the physical might of our soldiers. There's a machlokes whether the Kohen Meshuach Melchama said all of this at the time that they were that they were about to go out to war, or whether the Kohen only said the psukim in the Torah, because if you read the beginning of Parshas Kisetse, there's not this whole descriptive thing about don't be afraid because of the glittering swords and the horses and the neighing and the shofar blowing. But according to the Man D'Yamar, who says that the Kohen Meshuach Melchama would actually say all this, the point is obviously what he's saying from Parshas Kisetse is in Lashon HaKodesh, because the Torah is written in Lashon HaKodesh. The point is that not only the basic things that are in Parshas Kisetse, but also all of the embellishments that the Kohen wants to say in order to rally the troops, all of that speech has to be in Lashon HaKodesh as well. Says the Gemara as follows now. So my Kamar, how do we know that the Kohen has to say all this in Lashon HaKodesh? All it said in the Mishnah was V'diber El Ha'am. It said V'diber El Ha'am, that he spoke to the people. Okay, so he spoke to the people. Where do we see that he spoke in Lashon HaKodesh? Says the Gemara, Shenemar Vidiber, because it says over here Vidiber Ulahalanu Omer, and elsewhere it says, where does it say? By Matan Torah, Moshe Yidaber Velokim Yanenu Bekol Malalam Balashon HaKodesh, just like by the giving of the Torah is Lashon HaKodesh, Afkan Balashon HaKodesh. Also over here, when it says Diber, it means Diber Balashon HaKodesh. Tanu Rabbanan, it says in the Brisa, V'nigash HaKohen V'diber La'am, that the Kohen approaches and speaks to the people, Yachol Kol Kohen Sheyirza. I might think, oh, the Kohen comes, any Kohen could come. Tamalomar V'dibru HaShotrim, that it also says that the Shotrim, the officers come. Ma Shotrim B'mamuna, Af Kohen B'mamuna. Just like the officers have to be appointed, so to the Kohen who's coming and rallying the troops, he also has to be appointed. Ve'ima Kohen Gadol, and maybe you want to say that it's the Kohen Gadol who actually addresses the troops before they go out to battle. How do you know that it's the special Kohen Meshuach Melchama? Sadumya de Shoter, because no, the Kohen who comes is analogous to the Shotrim who are also mentioned. Ma shoter sheyesh mamun al gabav, just like a shoter has somebody who is his superior, the shofet is the superior of the shoter. Af kohen sheyesh mamun al gabav, also the kohen who addresses the nation before they go out to battle is not the highest position kohen. It's not the kohen gadol. It's the kohen who has somebody on top of him. It's the kohen who has a boss. Who's the kohen who has the boss? It's the Meshuach Melchama, because the kohen gadol is his boss. Says the Gemara. So Kohen Gadol Nami, Oika Melech Al Gabav. The Kohen Gadol is not the ultimate boss, there is a Melech. Says the Gemara, yeah, but Bavadoso Kamar. Yeah, there, of course, there's a Melech, but in the hierarchy of Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol is the top dog. So therefore, it can't be the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, how do I know it's the Meshuach Melchama? Maybe the Ema Skan, maybe it's the deputy Kohen Gadol. So Skan Lav Mamunu. No, well, the Skan doesn't have any power until he takes the title of Kohen Gadol. The Tanya, Amar Rav Chanina, Skan HaKohanim, because Rav Chanina, Skan HaKohanim, Rabbanim says, Lama Skan Mamuna, why is the Skan appointed? Shem Ira Bapsul, because if the Kohen Gadol experiences a Psul on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol Nichlas Meshamesh Taktov, so that the Skan Kohen Gadol can slip into place, can take his stead, and can do the Avoda instead of him. Rashi points out, however, so long as there is no Psul in the Kohen Gadol, then the Skan doesn't have any Gedula at all. In other words, he's waiting in the wings. There's nothing to his position until he actually has to assume his position of authority. But until he assumes his position of authority, he's a nobody. Says Tosfos, is that right that he's a nobody? But in Maseches Sanhedrin, we go through the whole procedure. What happens when the Kohanim are Menachem Avel to other Avelim, or when Avelim are Menachem Avel to a Kohen who loses a relative? And it talks about the whole assembly that they would have there, and we talk about the Kohen Gadol is in the middle, and then you have the Meshulach Machama, and then you have the Skan. So it's apparent that the Skan does have some sort of kavod even before he steps in and takes the place of the Kohen Gadol. So Tosfa says, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, based on the Gemara Maseches Yuma, that yes, the Skan is afforded more kavod, but that is sort of voluntary, that's elective. In other words, the other Kohanim, in recognition of the fact that he's a Skan, will sustain him, they will support him, they will raise him up. However, practically speaking, he has no intrinsic Kedusha, unless and until he actually takes over the position of Kohen Gadol. So this is how we know that the Kohen who's addressing the nation at the time they go out to war has to be somebody who himself is important right now, but is not the most important Kohen. So who is that? That's the Meshulach Melchama. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, now four lines up from the bottom. V'yomer aleihem Shema Yisrael. Maishna Shema Yisrael. Why does he quote the Pasuk Shema Yisrael? There are lots of good feel good psukim that one can quote. Some Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Amar Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu Li Yisrael, Afilu Lo Kiyamtem El Kriya Shema Shachros V'Arves, Iyatem Nimsarim B'Yadam. Even if the only mitzvah that you do is you read Kriya Shema in the morning and the night, then it's still enough. You are not going to fall at the hands of your enemy. What's the story with Kriya Shema Shachros V'Arves? Because when we go out to battle against the nations of the world, against Umas Olam, and we are victorious because of the Koach of Torah, because the Torah protects us. The basic level of Talmud Torah that a person can do, and be Yotza the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is re-in Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. Therefore, what the Kohen Meshulach Melchama is telling Klal Yisrael is, you are going with the power of Torah, and you should know that even if the only Torah that you learn is just reading Kriya Shema in the morning and the night, that's enough. You're not going to be defeated at enemy hands. So al yerech levavchem al turu val tichbazu tana rabbanim pa'amayim medaber imam. The Kohen Meshulach Melchama would speak to them twice. Echas besapor v'echas b'melchama. Once at the border of Eretz Yisrael, and then once when they were about to go into war. Besapor ma'u omer. At the border, what would he say? So shimu divrei marchei ha'melchama v'chazru. He would speak to the regiments of the soldiers, and they would return. Who would return? Rashi says, those who were among the categories that the Kohen Meshulach Melchama said are exempt from war would return. And again, those categories are a person who planted a new vineyard, a person who built a new house but hasn't lived in it, a person who got engaged but hasn't yet gotten married, a person who is afraid of the averos that he's committed because he's not going to fight with confidence. They should all go back. So that's what he said at the border. B'mulchama ma'u omer. At the time of war, what would he say? At the place of war, what would he say? Sa'al yerech levavchem. That's when he would give the whole pep talk that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Don't be afraid. Don't be faint. Al tiru, al tichbazu. Don't panic. Val tartsu. And don't be broken. Keneged arba dvarim shovdei kachavim osim. Why did he give these four? Like he's speaking in a very eloquent way, but he's using all of these synonyms. So why is he using? Just say, don't be afraid, right? Don't panic. Don't be faint. Don't be broken. So because the ovdei kachavim do four things: magifin, they clash their shields; marian, they blow the shofar; tzavachim, they yell; veromsim, and they stamp. They stomp with their horses. So Kanega, those four things, we use four lashonos of calm down, don't be nervous. The Mishnah told us that when we go to battle, we fight with the koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Umas HaOlam, they rely on the strength of Basar V'dam. So now we're going to talk about Goliath. So Plishtim Bo'am and Itzchona Shal Goliath. The Plishtim fought with Goliath. They relied on Goliath's might. So Goliath, Amar Rav Yochanan, Sha'amad Begilui Panim, Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why was Goliath called Goliath? Because he stood in brazenness before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, because Goliath said, Buru Lechem Ish, V'yered Eli. He said to the Jewish people, you choose one warrior and let him come, let him fight with me. Vein ish, Ela Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even though he said ish, choose a man, when he said choose a man, he was really referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we say, Naz Yashir, Hashem ish milchama. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll show him. Hareini mapilu al yedei ben ish. He said, choose a man, I will make him experience his downfall at the hands of a ben ish. Shenemar v'David ben ish Ephrati hazeh, that David was ben ish Ephrati. So Goliath said ish, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent David to fight with Goliath. So Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Meir b'shloshim makomos lachtu piv lo sarasha. In three different places, Goliath was ensnared by his own words. So echad. So the first time is baru luchem ish v'yerid elai. He said, choose a man and let him come down on me. So he should have said, let him fight with me. When he said, V'yered Eli, he's sort of intimating that he is going to experience a downfall because the person is going to prevail over him. V'idach, the other place, imyuchali lachem iti vihikani. He basically is saying that the person is going to smite him. V'idach, and the third place, the kamarle le David, hakelav anochi kiata bo Eli b'maklos. Am I like a dog that you are going to ba a lie that you are going to prevail over me with a stick? So David nami amarle, but didn't David also say ata bo Eli becherev bechanis uvekidon, that you are going to come on me with a spear and a javelin? So if come on me, if the lashon of bo Eli is signifying that he knows he's going to lose, David also said he's going to lose. So Hadar Amar Lev Anochi Boy Lecha B'Shem Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Marachos Yisrael. True, Asher Charafta. That David did say Boy Eli, but then David also said, yeah, and I'm going to come onto you with the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David showed that he knew that he was fighting with the power and the koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not the koach, not his own personal strength. And Goliath would come out every morning and night. Why would he go out every morning and night? Because, again, Goliath's whole point was he wanted to show that he was anti-Torah. He was anti-Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he would make a ruckus in the morning and the night to try to prevent Bnei Israel from saying Kriyash Mashachris V'Arvis. He did this whole thing for 40 days. The 40 days that the Torah was given, because again, his whole mode was to be anti-Torah. The Yetze Ish Habeinim Mimachnos Plishtim, and a Ish Habeinim, Ish Habeinoyim went out from the Machnos Plishtim. So my Benoyim, what does it mean that he was Benoyim? So Amarav Shemavuna Mikol Mum. He was perfectly built. Benoyim doesn't mean he was middling. It means that he was a pure physical specimen. Shmuel Omar Benoni Shabachiv. No, Shmuel means that he was a middling one amongst his brothers, because his brothers were so huge, and when you're so huge, it's like a Balmum. But Goliath was perfectly proportioned. The Bei Rav Shilomar Shu Asay Kabinyan. He was solid, built like a building. Rav Yochanan Amar Bar Mea Papi V'Chada Nanoi. That the reason that it says he was a binyan is because the reason that it says Benoni, that he came from the middle, is because he had 100 stepfathers and one father. What does that mean? How could a person have 100 stepfathers and one father? It means because Goliath was conceived from a night of revelry in which his mother had relations with 100 men. So we don't know who his father was, because she slept with 100 men the night he was conceived. So the Goliath Shmo, and his name was Goliath Migat. So Tani Rav Yosef Shakol Doshin Es Imo Kegat. Why does it say Goliath Kegat? Because everybody pressed down on his mother like in a threshing floor. Again, because his mother had relations with 100 men the night that Goliath was conceived. Ksiv Ma'aros, it says Ma'aros, which means caves. The Krinan Marachos, and we read it regiments. So Tani Rav Yosef Shakol Heru B'Imo. And again, the reason that it's the Ksiv is Ma'aros, it's a double entendre. Ma'aros from the Lashon of Ha'ara, which is the Lashon of Be'ia, of Be'ilah, but it's hearkening to the fact that all these people slept with his mother. Harpa v'chsev Arpa. Who was his mother? Her name was either Harpa or Arpa. So Rav Shmuel Chadamar Harpa Shma. One says that her name was Harpa. V'lama nikra Shma Arpa. Why was she called Arpa? Shakol Arfin Osa Mecharea. Because everybody would sodomize her. Shalo Kadarka. V'chad Amar Arpa Shma. Others say that her name was Arpa. V'lama nikra Shma Harpa. Why was the Kree Harpa? Shakol Doshin Osa Karifos. Because everybody would press on her like crushed kernels of wheat. And this is another allegory, another allusion, rather, to the fact that everybody had relations with her. And it says that the woman came and spread the curtain over the mouth of the well, and scattered crushed kernels of wheat over this. V'ibas ema mehacha. And others say it's from here. Imtichash es avil b'machtesh b'tocha rifos b'eli. That if the fool will be crushed by the mortar, and the crushed kernels of wheat will be crushed by the pestle. So says the Gemara Vayter, ves arba ela yuldu laharpa begat. That these four people were born to Harpa in Gat. And they all experience a downfall at the hands of David and David's followers. So, mind you, who are these people? Some Rav Chista, Saf Umadon Golyas VeYishbi Benov. VeYiplu BiYad David VeYad Davadav D'Chsev. How do we know that they would all experience a downfall at the hands of David? And here's our Dafyomi coincidence. Vatishak Arpa LaChamosa. That Arpa kissed her mother-in-law Naomi. VeRus Davkabo. And Rus clung to Naomi because Rus wanted to be Mizgaya. Rus wanted to stay with the Jewish people. So Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo B'nei HaNeshuka, that the children of the Neshuka, that's Arpa, the one who kissed her mother-in-law, V'yiplu B'yad B'nei HaDevuka, and they will experience a downfall at the hands of the one who cleaved to the mother-in-law. That obviously is Rus. So Darash Rava, the Schar Arba Demos. Now, however, in the Schar of the four tiers, Sharidu Arpa al Chamosa, that Arpa cried when she parted ways with her mother-in-law, Zachsav Yetzimim and Arba Giborim. She was Zocha, that four strong men came from her. Shenemar Vetisena Kolan Vatevkena, that they cried. Odksiv Chetz Chaniso, that it says a shaft and a spear, Vakrinan Eitz Chaniso, and it says a spear of wood. Samar of Elazar Adayin Luagiu Lachatzi Shivcho Shel Osa Rasha. We haven't even gotten to half of the Shevach of Golias. In other words, we've been describing what an impressive physical specimen he is, but we haven't even described half of his greatness. The Chatzi Milashon Chetz. Chetz Milashon Chatzi. Says the Gemara, Mikanchas Elisaper B'Shivchon Shel Rasham. From here we know that you're not supposed to speak too much about the praise of Rasham. Luftaf Plek Klal. Why do we praise him at all then? Why do we even go halfway? Lo Duish Shivchei De David. In other words, in order to tell us how impressive David's feat of strength was, that he was able to defeat Goliath, we have to talk a little bit about his strength. Ksiv Shovach v'Ksiv Shovach. The other guy who came and fought against the Jews was Shovach, and right, the Zoom conked out, but we're almost out of time, so hopefully it'll go back. Connecting. All right. Ksiv Shovach v'Ksiv Shovach. Rav Shmuel Chanamar Shovach Shmo v'Limanik Shmo Shovach. His name was Shovach. Why was it called Shovach? So Asui K'Shovach. It was like a dove coat, meaning he was very tall, or he was like a binyan. In other words, he was thick on the bottom and narrower and chiseled on top. V'Chanamar Shovach Shmo v'Limanik Shmo Chav. Others say that it was Shovach, and why was his name was Shovach, and why was he called Shovach? Shakola Roos and Nishpach of Kikiton. Because anybody who would see him, they would get so frightened, they would like spill out like a bottle of water. Ashposo Kekever Patuach, Kulam Giborim. They were all strong. Rav Shmuel Va'amri Le Rabbi Ami V'Rav Asi Chadam Ramashosh Azorkin Chetz Osin Ashposos Ashposos Rachalalam. Whenever they would throw arrows, it would lead to heaps of corpses because they would kill so many people. V'Shema Tomar Shumnim Bekerev Tamalomar Kulam Giborim. Lest you think, okay, so that means that they're good marksmen. How do I know that they're actually strong? No, it's because he was so mighty. V'Chadam Ramashosh Osin Sorcheim Osin Ashpos Ashposos Shal Zevel, that when they would attend to their bodily needs, when they would defecate, they would expel heaps of dung. So Veshema Tomer Bnei Shacholim Ayimim, lest you say, well, all that means is that they have intestinal problems. Tamalomar Kulim Giborim, it's because they were so mighty. Amar Rav Mari, Shvamina, Haimad Nafesh Zivle Cholim Ayinu. Ah, from this Gemara we learn that if a person excretes too much, if he has too much excrement, then he has a stomach issue. L'may Nafkamina, Litroch Benafshe. What's a Nafkamina? Well, you got to know to seek medical attention. If you're experiencing an unusual incidence of excrement, then you got to go to a doctor. Let's just finish up until the two dots. Says the Gemara Vayter, Daga Belev Ish Yashchena. If you have anxiety, then you should quash it. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi Chad Amar Yashchena Midaito. One says that you should remove it from your mind. V'Chad Amar Yasichena La'Acherim. And others say no, you should tell it over to other people. So the pshat over here is that the Riaf explains that initially you should just try to remove it from your mind. If you're not successful in removing it from your mind, if you can't stop thinking about it, then tell it over to somebody else, and that might be cathartic as well as a form of therapy. Others explain that the reason that this works is because maybe he's deserving of a punishment, but his household is not deserving of a punishment. So if he expresses his anxiety to his household, he's putting the burden on the B'nai Bias in addition to himself, and therefore they're not deserving of being punished, and therefore this person is going to be relieved from whatever it is that is causing him anxiety. Hope everybody has a great day. Marenu is back tomorrow. He's going to pick up from the two dots, last line on Mem Beis Amud Beis. Oh.